Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's certainly never dull in Knoxville around the Tennessee Volunteer Football Program. A lot to get to. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. Wes, first off, Merry Christmas. Hope you and your family are doing well. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
No problem, guys. Happy holidays to y'all too. We're doing all right over here. Doing all right. A little bit of just a normal Knoxville kind of holiday season. we're doing all right.
It certainly is a lot of normalcy going on right now in Tennessee. It seems like an annual tradition at this point. But Wes, let's start with JT Shrout, and it's been a really interesting journey for him this year. At one point, you think he's completely out of the picture. I don't even think he traveled to Arkansas for that game, and then all of a sudden, at the end of the year, he's getting significant playing time. What happened with JT Shrout? Was playing him a last-ditch effort to try and keep him from Jeremy Pruitt? What do you think went on there?
Yeah, you know, it's a complicated situation, I think, because I'm sure there's a reason why he didn't play as much as you know, some people wanted to see him play, but we don't know what it was. I mean, it's... You know, Jared Garantano was given a long leash, a really, really long leash, one of the longer ones you'll ever see. And Shrout never really got the opportunity to make mistakes. I mean, he showed some great arm talent. He's a guy who can make exciting plays. He's a guy who can give you an opportunity to make big plays on offense. But he also made mistakes, and when he did, he was put right back on the bench. I never really understood it. I'm not really sure exactly what went wrong there. There just wasn't a lot of trust there, obviously, between the coaching staff and him about his ability to go out there and kind of straighten out some mistakes. And now he's going to get a fresh start somewhere else. I mean, I can't say I blame him. You know, Tennessee's got Harrison Bailey. It's got, you know, Caden Salter coming in. It's got, you know, maybe a guy in the transfer portal I think they'll try to go get, assuming this coaching staff is still here. So I think that there's lots of reasons why he would do it. I think it's just interesting to kind of – it'd be really nice to figure out why he wasn't given more of a chance, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you mentioned the coaching staff, Wes, so I'm just going to get right to it. I'm gonna ask you to get out the crystal ball and tell me, is this coaching staff going to be – the coaching staff in 2021 for Tennessee, if you had to guess right at this very moment? And I know it changes minute to minute.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I'm still leaning more toward the fact that Pruitt will still be the head coach. I laugh because a normal program would have made the decision by now, and that would have been that, right? But, you know, Tennessee's not necessarily a normal place. It hadn't been for a while, so I don't know exactly what's happening there. But I can tell you that there are some people who would like a coaching change. Tennessee's 3-7. That's not making people happy. But I don't think that investigation is going to give him anything like the opportunity to forecause fire him. So you're sitting there staring there at a buyout. If you want to buy out Pruitt and the whole staff, you're talking $18, $19 million probably, 18.6, something like that. And Pruitt's buyout has no offset language in it whatsoever, amazingly. So I don't know that right now, after watching what Auburn went through, I don't know that Tennessee wants to go through that. I just don't. And my personal belief is that if you got, you know, if someone came to Philip Fulmer and said, here's a $19 million check, here's another blank check to get whoever you want, really want, a real difference maker, and we know this guy would take the job, if I had all three of those assurances, sure, go ahead and make the change. But without that, I don't know why you would do it if you're Tennessee, because you're going to go through a mediocre process, a crazy process. you're going to get some kind of candidate, and you're going to be sitting here 3 or 4 years, maybe in the same exact spot. It's kind of a cycle Tennessee's gotten itself into right now. And I don't know if you can't go hire a real difference maker, you're just continuing this cycle if you go again. So, I mean, that's probably what Tennessee would do, to be honest, and I think that's kind of pointless.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Wes, I mean, you mentioned kind of the cycle that Tennessee is in right now. How did they get to this point? I realize there's a long and complicated answer to that, but just as best as you can, how did Tennessee get to this point, and how do they get out of it?
There's no one way you get into a situation like this, because it requires so many things going wrong from so many people. In short, there's been really no stability kind of in the whole apparatus. And by that, I mean kind of the department, the administration. Tennessee's had different presidents and different chancellors and, different ADs, different coaches. I used to know everybody over there. It seemed like, be like, hey, there's that person. That's their job. There's that person. That's their job. And now it's kind of like, wait, who are you? Who are you again? What do you do? It just seems like they've gotten more of a corporate vibe than a true kind of family vibe. Because for Tennessee, for 30 years, you kind of knew everybody over there and what they were doing. And it seems like it's different now. It's probably different other places too. And I just don't think, you're going to have a little bit of, kind of headbutting and some other issues at other places. You're always going to have that in a major college athletic department. But Tennessee just seems to have too many people who want too many different things, and no one really knows exactly who's in charge sometimes. There's just a little bit of dysfunction behind the scenes there. And when you get that, it's just hard to build anything solid.
Well, to what extent right now, Wes, do you think Phil Fulmer is in charge? And do you think that, because I hear this from a lot from Tennessee fans, well, it's above his head anyway. I mean, do you think Philip Fulmer stays in that job if he isn't able to dictate the terms of the job?
I'll say this, Philip Fulmer, I don't know anyone. There might be people who love the University of Tennessee as much as Philip Fulmer. There's no one who loves it more than Philip Fulmer. And, he's a stubborn guy. He's a prideful guy, but he's also a UT guy. That's who he is. That's like the core of his identity in some ways. I mean, he's a family guy and he's a UT guy. And so I think there are some things that he could stomach, but there are some things he wouldn't abide. I do think that he wants to keep Jeremy Pruitt. I think that he believes, at least for another year, that's the right thing to do. And I think he's fighting for that. I really do. Now, if a decision like that is made above his head, what would he do then? That's a really, really good question, Joe. And I don't know that answer, because I know that he's a prideful guy, but I know that I know he wants to keep Pruitt. So if he's not able to do that, would he stomach that? I don't know. If the boosters came to him and said, in the administration, and said, here's everything you need to make sure this transition is handled the right way, then maybe he would be on board for it. But I don't know that for sure.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Wes, just assuming that Pruitt is back next season, what do you think Jim Chaney's future looks like at Tennessee? Obviously, he and Chris Wienke both involved in the Caden Salter recruit. Like, what do you think are the chances that Chaney is back as offensive coordinator next year, assuming Pruitt is back as well?
If Pruitt's back, I think it's possible that Chaney's back. I mean, that wouldn't be a cheap buyout either, I don't think. So I think he'd probably be back, but I don't know that for sure. Now, I do know that there would be turnover on the staff. I mean, you're talking two or three other guys, there maybe four other guys there who could be gone. But the issue there is that if you're Pruitt, and you're trying to stay at Tennessee, which he does want to do. There are people saying he doesn't want to do that, and that's BS. He wants to be at Tennessee. But if you're having to replace four or five assistant coaches, you're sort of making that decision for Tennessee, if that makes sense. Because if you've got to replace that many guys on your staff, at that point Tennessee is saying, wait a minute, why wouldn't we just start over with the whole thing, including you? So that's that's where they are. A couple of changes on the staff, maybe three changes on the staff, something like that. That would be probably, they could probably live with that. If it's more than that, if you're doing wholesale changes, you know, at that point you're sitting there thinking, I remember the last year of Derek Dooley. I remember some of the guys they had to hire because that's what it's like when you're viewed as a lame duck coach. And that's the kind of guys that you're going to get on your staff. So if that's the case, why are we keeping the head coach around? I mean, I think Tennessee's administration has done some dumb things. I don't think they're that dumb. So that's the problem, is that you got to keep some of them. You know, you can't just replace all of them, because at that point, why are you keeping the head coach? So I think, long story short, I do think Chaney would be back unless he wants to go somewhere, but I do think there would be changes on his staff.
Do you think that Jim Chaney – I think it's been a terrible year for Jim Chaney, Wes. I think there's a lot more talent on this offense than the production indicates. But, you know, you also hear this, you know, is Pruitt holding him back? You know, is he not doing the things he want to do? Do you think there's anything to that?
I mean, I think there's no question that nothing goes on that the head coach doesn't want. I think there's certainly something to that. You know, I also think that Pruitt's a defensive guy. But, you know, he also, you know, it's not like guys who know defense only know defense and guys who know offense only know offense. It's not like that. He's the head coach. And I do think there have been times this year where you could tell Pruitt was frustrated with some of the play calling. You know, he would say, why are we throwing across the field? You know, why are we throwing a 50-yard pass across the field on third and three? You know, and he would say those things publicly. And I think so there's definitely times there where they don't necessarily understand each other. I think that's going to happen anytime you're 3-7. I don't know that Jeremy Pruitt's sitting there putting a restrictor plate on Jim Chaney's offense. I don't think it goes that far. I don't. And I wonder this year, quite frankly, there were times where I know what Jim Chaney has done in the past with quarterbacks, and I wonder if they don't make some changes where Chaney is now the coordinator and the quarterback's coach. I just wonder if they would do something like that, because you saw what Chaney did with Jonathan Crompton. You saw what happened to Georgia's quarterback situation the year Jim Chaney left. It got worse. You know, the same player got worse at Georgia when he left. And you've seen this, I mean, throughout his career, Jim Chaney knows what he's doing with quarterbacks, which is why I never understood why he wasn't coaching him in the first place. I know he can coach the offensive line, tight end, anywhere on the offense. I know he can do that. Or he can be a roam around OC. He can coach everybody. But you look at what he's done with quarterbacks before, you look at how much quarterbacks are struggling now at Tennessee, and you would think, well, why don't you put two and two together on this? You know, that's just the thing that's gone through my head all season long. And if Pruitt's back and if Chaney's back, I mean, if I were those guys, I'd strongly think about putting Chaney as the quarterback's coach. I just would.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Wes, really appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff, and hope you have a happy holidays.
No problem, guys. And all this could be irrelevant in half an hour anyway.
Yeah, very well.
Tennessee.
Yeah, very well could. But that's okay.
Put in
that's,
time capsule.
That's just par for the course, Wes. We appreciate you, man.
Anytime, man.
When we come back, we've got a special edition of Call Your Shot Wednesday. No show Friday, so it's Call Your Shot Wednesday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports for this week/weekend. Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.